From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his fifth message in a series expounding Isaiah chapter 53. The message is entitled, Christ Burdened, Blasphemed, and Beaten. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought by C.H. Spurgeon, taken from his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Unbroken Fellowship Essential. The text is John chapter 15 and verse 7, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Of necessity we must be in Christ to live unto him, and we must abide in him to be able to claim the largesse of this promise from him. To abide in Jesus is never to quit him for another love or another object, but to remain in living, loving, conscious, willing union with him. The branch is not only ever near the stem, but ever receiving life and fruitfulness from it. All true believers abide in Christ in a sense, but there is a higher meaning, and this we must know before we can gain unlimited power at the throne. Ask what ye will is for Enochs who walk with God, for Johns who lie in the Lord's bosom, for those whose union with Christ leads to constant communion. The heart must remain in love, the mind must be rooted in faith, the hope must be cemented to the Word, the whole man must be joined unto the Lord, or else it would be dangerous to trust us with power in prayer. The carte blanche can only be given to one whose very life is, not I, but Christ liveth in me. O, you who break your fellowship, what power you lose! If you would be mighty in your pleadings, the Lord himself must abide in you, and you in him.
Set my heart, O dear Father, on thee and thee only. Give me a thirst for thy presence divine. Lord, keep my focus on loving thee only. Purge me from earth, turn my heart after
Lord,
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. In this series of studies in Isaiah chapter 53, Dr. Cairns is expounding verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In introducing the message, Dr. Cairns focused on the certainties of the gospel as embodied in the word surely. The term also conveys the sense of because, referring to what the Lord Jesus endured as he suffered the anguish of the beatings, the mockery, and the cross. There he bore the punishment for the sins of his people. The wrath and judgment of God fell upon him. Now to continue a message entitled, Christ Burdened, Blasphemed, and Beaten. Here is Dr. Cairns.
It is not a head knowledge of the gospel that saves. It is Christ who saves. Therefore, we need to emphasize our affirmation of certainty. is directly and solely dependent upon the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the word surely is a strong affirmation. But the word surely also has the significance of for or because. In other words, it is referring to what went before, and it is giving us a fuller reason for what happened in the previous verse. The previous verse shows us the humiliation of Christ. How did the Son of God come to be the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, with men hiding their faces from him, despising him and esteeming him not? The great reason for it is, he hath borne our griefs. He hath carried our sorrows. The message of this verse is simple, and as I pondered it, I thought it was sublime. It's a wonderful word that the prophet here brings. Look at the verse carefully. Christ bore. Notice the emphasis on he hath borne our griefs. He hath carried our sorrows. Christ bore what he didn't have to bear in order that we might not bear what we otherwise must have borne. He bore it willingly in order that we should bear it no more. In other words, our text is simply speaking of Christ burdened and his people blessed. I want us to think of the words of the text with that in mind, and start off with the idea of Christ burdened. Look at the words again, born and carried. Now, this is the real reason for the sufferings of Christ. He was the sin bearer. Now, let me digress a little. Well, it's actually explaining the text first and then a little digression. He hath borne our griefs. He hath carried our sorrows. Those words are explained in various ways by various people. Personally, I believe that what we have here is a figure of speech. I noticed from our book rack that a lot of people took me at my word and have obtained a lot of the books that we brought in from Ron Cook, one of which was on Bible interpretation. I hope you read it, study it, inwardly digest it. It'll help your Bible study immensely. In that book, you'll find a chapter, as you do in every book of interpretation, on figures of speech. There are various kinds of figures of speech. I'm not going to give you an English lesson, nor any other kind of a lesson on that this morning. But some of them are figures of substitution. The most common of those is a figure called metonymy, where in everyday writing or speech, cause is put for effect or effect is put for cause. Let me give you an example. In Luke 16, verse 29, the Lord Jesus said, "They have Moses and the prophets." Now, if you want to take that literally, you make nonsense of the statement. They didn't have Moses. He was dead and buried by the hand of God. They didn't have the prophets either. They were also dead. What they had was what Moses and the prophets wrote. They had those things that Moses caused. Take another example. In James chapter 3, you have that long statement about the tongue. Now, when you look at the tongue literally, it's just a piece of flesh. And when it says it's set on fire of hell, you are not to think that that actual piece of flesh is actually set on fire of the devil. The tongue is there put for what it produces. the words that it forms. That is metonymy. That is the substitution of either a cause for an effect or an effect for a cause. Now, I believe that we have here a use of metonymy. Here you have the word griefs and the word sorrows or pains or sicknesses. We are here to understand that grief is put for what caused the grief, namely sin or the judgment of sin. Sorrow or pain is put for what caused that sorrow and pain, namely again the sin and its judgment. What did Christ actually bear legally as our head and substitute on the tree? He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He was made sin for us. He was not made disease for us. He was made sin for us. Now, it's important that we get that. You see, this verse is quoted in Matthew 8, verse 17. Just have a look at it and you'll see. After the Lord Jesus had cast out devils and healed all that were sick, verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now that has been taken by charismatics, Pentecostalists, and others to say that, and this is their form of words, healing is in the atonement. Now we need to be very careful about that. Healing is in the atonement. Number one, Matthew chapter 8 is making no reference whatsoever to the atoning death of Jesus Christ. It has said that he cast out devils and he healed sickness. And then it quotes Isaiah 53. It is not referring in any way in Matthew 8 to his death. What was fulfilled was Christ actually healing disease. And I think what it's simply showing is that the Lord Jesus Christ, if he bore the judgment of sin that caused suffering, then he has the right and the power to heal. That's the extent of the proof that is introduced in Matthew chapter 8. There is also undoubtedly the idea of Christ the great sympathizer. Christ bears all our sickness, all our pain, all our sorrow sympathetically. He enters into them as Hebrews chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 4 would indicate. He enters into them sympathetically. But as to the actual judicial act of bearing and carrying that the text speaks about, it was sin that Jesus bore. It was judgment that the Lord Jesus Christ bore. Now I go into this morning for two reasons. Number one, a lot of Christians are caused a lot of trouble. And some of them, the more honest they are, the more true this becomes. Some of them are demented by this crazy, heretical notion as it is meant in healing in the atonement. You see, if Christ bore away your sins, your guilt, then your guilt is gone. Your heart knows that. The words mean that. You can't get around that. Your guilt is gone if Christ bore it away. Equally, if Christ bore away your sickness and every physical pain, and you're told that's in the atonement, then immediately you have the question, why do I still feel pain? Why do I still get sick? You've then got to start doing some mental gymnastics. In one case that we knew, people having adopted this with children,
dropping off their feet with a heavy cold or flu and their eyes running and their nose running and all the rest of it, and the mother saying, oh, they're perfectly healthy. There's nothing wrong with them. Why? Because healing was in the atonement. They're not sick. That's actually just like Christian Science all over again. They might look like they're sick. They might feel like they're sick, but really they're not sick. This comes to be very, very serious when you deal with people with terminal illness. It's bad enough for a doctor to tell you you've got terminal cancer. It makes it a lot worse if some fool of a preacher comes along and says you don't need to have this cancer because Christ bore it away on the tree. All you need is to exercise faith in that. Of course, there again, they've got a defective theology, for the Christ who bore away the sin, bore away also the sin of unbelief. And he also gives the faith to take his work. I tell you, I have come across cases like this, people dying of cancer, and some preacher saying, this was in the atonement, therefore you don't need to have cancer, therefore you're healed. And as they die, and as their body emaciates, and their pain gets worse, their mental anguish is multiplied, as they vainly try to tell themselves, I'm not dying, I have been healed. Now, of course, what Jesus Christ did in the cross ultimately will give us sinless and painless bodies. But the Scripture definitively states that the redemption of the body is at the resurrection. The Scripture definitively states, therefore, that that time when the full extent of sin will be destroyed, even as to its very presence in the body and its ability to cause hurt in the body, that time awaits the moment when our bodies are made like unto His glorious body. I don't know what you would call it, some sort of a production in the mail from California just a few days ago from one of the nation's leading charismatic healing preachers. And these characters are always up to something new to try and get money. And they've got to make it sound holy and unctuous. And anybody who falls for it really, I must be honest, either is mentally unhinged, spiritually unhinged, or deserves all they get. It really is tragic to see, but I read this thing, and then I had a look at his picture. And he was as bald as Steve Dean here. And I could never figure this out, you know, why it's in the atonement for you to have your cancer healed, but it's not in the atonement for him to have his baldness healed. And if you really want to stick to Scripture, in the Old Testament, if you were bald, you couldn't be a priest. So God certainly looked on it then as a physical infirmity and sickness. So, strange that your sicknesses are sin if you hold on to them, but his baldness, well, that's okay. I hate to be cynical, but the real reason is, you see, you're the mug, you're giving out the money, and if you're a big enough fool to fall for that, well, he'll keep on telling you your sins are in the, or your sicknesses are in the atonement, but his baldness isn't. The truth of the matter is very simple. Christ bore our sins. This is what the text is talking about. He dealt with the guilt of sin. He dealt with the judgment of sin. And ultimately, as I say, that will affect body and soul for all eternity and bring us into a state of sinless perfection forever. But at this point in time, we can only say that first and foremost, he deals with sin. And insofar as there are sorrows that the guilt of sin causes, they can be dealt with, and dealt with immediately. And the grief and the pain of guilt will be taken away as soon as you close with the justifying grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.